Hello, and welcome to another Forgotten Fantasy podcast. Today we're going to be continuing the novel Emperor Blood, and today is going to be the fourth chapter of this novel, and I hope you enjoy it, and we'll see what happens to Tanshi next. I'm really looking forward to it, that's for sure.
Chapter 4. Alone in the repair room of the spaceship Cerberus, Tanshi sat cross-legged and played his flute. Relaxed by the music, he put down his instrument and moved over to a low table inlaid with a computer. The rest of Tanshi's shift relaxed in the mess. He had fed with them, but left at mail call. Tanshi was the only Paynon on the ship. Past 2 years, he couldn't send or receive personal letters, email, or parcel. No visiting on the computer. No leave allowed. He had learned that it was less painful to return to work than to sit in a corner reading Ganji's sports magazine and pretending everything was fine, while everyone else chatted about their loved ones or the next leave. Tanshi's hand lay flat against the room's computer and worked as a conduit to connect his consciousness to it. He brought up a picture of Kukui and the baby from the night of the funerals and stared at it for a while. He whispered a command and his secret email account appeared. He sent a coded message to his mother that told her and the family that he was all right, too dangerous for anything more or for her to return any mail. The family accounts were sure to be tapped. The computer beeped. Ganji, now the captain's aide, appeared on the screen. He looked worried. Lieutenant Paynon Shura, Ganji said. Captain wants to see you. Thank you, warrant officer. Tanshi returned Ganji's salam. Ganji disappeared without any helpful explanation. Tanshi's stomach clenched as he headed down the corridor. Command kept turning down his requests for promotion, so he had secretly taken the captaincy exams under the name Lieutenant Shura of Clan Vershant. He had wanted to know if he could pass the written and the simulation tests, if he had what it took to become a leader without inheriting it. Emergency drills and a sticky virus in the navigation system had kept him busy the past few days. Had he missed intercepting the results? This could mean demotion at best, whipping at worst. Maybe there was some other reason for the captain's summons. Tanshi doubted it. He reached his commander's door and knocked on it. Enter, Lieutenant Paynon Shura, the captain said. Tanshi walked in on the captain and inherit. Big trouble. Tanshi salaamed and saluted. At ease, Lieutenant Paynon, the captain said. Tanshi placed his hands behind his back. He gripped them together, waiting for the worst. It seems our ship has obtained a great honor. The captain stared at him. We have the captaincy candidate with the highest marks and therefore the winner of the Kuwan's Academic Medal for the Space Military, presented by the Kuwan himself. It means the start of a sterling career. General Anherid won one, among others. I'm sure you know all about that medal, created during the first days of space, in the time between the first and second Kuwan Maru. Tanshi's nail dug into his palms. Surely he hadn't won the award he had instituted. I know that award, Oz. His voice shook. Damn his fear. It's a great honor for the winner, their mentor, and the ship. Yes, it is, the captain said. Except, despite the fact that the transmissions came from here, we don't have a Lieutenant Shura of Clan Vershant on our ship. Do you wish me to check the machines, Oz? Tanshi said. Perhaps it was an odd bounce or a problem with the mail system and the lieutenant stationed on another ship. He heard his voice trail off under their gaze. The lie sounded unconvincing, even to him. I believe the Paynon Shura once had the clan name of Vershant, Captain Anherid said. Is that so, Oz? The captain said. What do you think, Lieutenant Paynon Shura? Tanshi tired of the game. He fell to his knees, bowed his head, slapped his palms together, and raised them above his head in the beseeching position. I'm sorry, esteemed excellent general and my excellent captain, he said dully. I never meant to cause you difficulties. I wasn't looking for advancement, having been turned down. I wanted to see if I could pass the exams. I never shirked my duties. I worked on it during my time off. I swear, Oz, that I had no mentor. The person who signed off on my applications doesn't exist. No one else is to blame. He sighed. At least I didn't have a live mentor. I made up an artificial intelligence program from bits and pieces in the archives. I'll delete it immediately. I'm so sorry to bring this dishonor onto the Cerberus and my captain. Tanshi fought not to show his anger. A triumph for anyone else became his disgrace. The silence in the room grew oppressive. Finally, Anherid spoke. Rise, Lieutenant Paynon Shura, she smirked, showing her fangs. You will accept your award as your punishment. An unfamiliar soldier of the Imperial Guard opened the familiar door of the throne room, anteroom, to Anherid, the captain of the Cerberus, and Tanchi. Tanchi dared not think what had happened to those loyal to him. Anherid knows how to punish, he thought. He had not slept well for days. The hope remained the worse. He had imagined that he saw Kukuye among the shoppers. The car passed on the way to the parliament. Though he knew her family would have made sure that she returned to Zalabra and remarried. He would soon see Meru. Would his son remember him? Had Murasaki succeeded in her attempts to poison his son against him? Congratulations, Lieutenant Peinon. The guard saluted, and Tanchi returned the salute. You will wait in this room until you are called. Several other honorees from other branches of the military and the universities stood waiting. They chatted and drank wine. Tanchi's captain walked up to a plastic bowl colored imperial yellow that contained bloodworms. It replaced the traditional silver ones. The fascinated captain ran a finger along the side of the bowl before he took a bloodworm. Paladin Curran wandered among the military recipients, congratulating them. He ignored Tanchi. Other recipients looked nervous. Tanchi knew none of them could feel as deep a depth as his nerves. The door to the throne room opened a crack, and Toto, Andre's former personal attendant, slipped out. The traitor rang a silver bell, and everyone silenced. I greet all of you. I am Count Toto of Clan Nu, aide to his esteemed excellency, the Kuang Meru. Listen carefully. I am going to go over the protocol for receiving your medal from the Kuang. He glanced around the room. The color drained from his face. So much for Tanchi's hope that he might slip through the ceremony unrecognized. One moment, please. I must speak to Paladin Curran. Please come into my office, Oz. The Lieutenant Peinon from the Space Division and General Anherid may come with you. Toto had redecorated Hiro's former office. Tanchi stared at the odd furniture. In the middle of the room sat a large waist-high metal table with a black speckled top. Tall metal chairs like stripped-down thrones surrounded it. Tanchi had never seen anything like it. Must be human. How dare he have such alien things in Hiro's workplace? The aide minced through the door, leading to the Kuang's office, no doubt also redecorated. Tanchi remembered how Toto's swarmy, toady ways used to bother him. Andre used to dote on the little snake. Never liked him, Tanchi thought. Neither did Hiro. Years had not lessened the grief. Tanchi stuffed it back deep down inside. The Kuan's door slammed open. Murasaki stormed into the room, her face a vivid red snarl, her body wired to throw plates at the first wrong word. Tanchi glanced at a nearby vase and knew she saw it. He kowtowed with Yorba and Anherid. Tanchi studied the dark black geometric patterns in the carpet. A few more hours and this'll all be over, he thought. Paladin, why is a ghost here? Murasaki said. Esteemed Excellency, Lieutenant Peinon Shura won the Kuan's Academic Medal for the Space Division, Yorba said. Tanchi noticed with satisfaction that Yorba's voice held a slight tremor. No one was aware of his past. Impossible, Murasaki said. All we do for the military, all the new spaceships, all the funds, and you present us with this mockery. He arrived as a surprise, Yorba sounded angry. The list had already gone out to the media with the name of Lieutenant Shura of Clan Vershant. He is Peinon. A Peinon can win the medal, though none ever has. Yorba drew in his breath. Excellency, we need every good captain we can get. We're losing ships in the squabbles at the edges of the solar system. We can't afford to overlook an award winner, no matter what his background. He won fair and square, working on his own time. How is this subversion possible? Murasaki asked. Is no one paying attention in the military? Please accept my humble apologies. The general will make sure it never happens again. It won't happen now. Is this how the military rewards disobedience? Respectfully, esteemed Excellency, look at the Lieutenant Peinon, Anherid said. Tell me if he feels rewarded. Don't you dare criticize the throne, Murasaki said. Never, esteemed Excellency Regent, Anherid said. May I suggest, esteemed Excellency, Lieutenant Peinon receive his award from the Kuang now, then take the other winners, Yorba said. You control the media. No one will know anything but his name and that he received the award. Creating a fuss or eliminating his name at this late date will alert rebels such as Pirate Air. He can lead a small ship at the edge of the system. In the danger zone? Murasaki asked. An excellent place for a good captain to protect us, Yorba said. Bring the medal here. We'll give it to him, Murasaki said. But we wish a personal oath of allegiance.
Never, Tanchi thought.
It's the Kuang's medal, esteemed Excellency, Enherid said. The other recipients and the media will notice his absence at the coffee ceremony. I might point out that during these times, the space medal is considered the most important. No, Murasaki said. Maru will not see him. May I suggest, esteemed excellent regent, Yorba said, the Lieutenant Painon can accept the medal if he follows the protocol, kowtowing, then kneeling, not looking at the Kuang, no words except the correct, thank you, esteemed excellency, Kuang. He's Painon. The Kuang can't address him, and a Painon must be ignored during the coffee ceremony. Murasaki remained silent for a few moments. She gave a sharp laugh. We've never seen a shunning. Her voice took on a nasty tone. If anything but the proper words are said, we wish a whipping, a better punishment for disobedience. We believe the military has used it for years to good effect. Tanchi heard Murasaki's silk rustle. We'll put Maru into position. The door of the Kuang's office slammed. You get to see Maru, and Herod rested a hand on his shoulder. Tanchi shook it off and rose to attention. He had gone from king to pawn in some game they all played. If you wish to remain a general, don't ever do anything like this to me again, Yorba said with a hiss. You have no concept of the danger. I mean it, Enherid. Yes, Oz. She looked chastened. Toto appeared and led them back out of the room. They stood and waited while the aide explained the protocol to the rest of the winners. He opened the ornate door to the throne room and led Tanchi in, the captain, Enherid, and the paladin following. The throne room looked no different. Moonlight fell from the skylight onto his mother's woven hanging that covered the left marble wall. The low lamps flickered in the sconces. The pillars carved into the gods and goddesses representing each country held up the sides of the vaulted ceiling. Inlaid yellow moons, in all their phases, lay scattered across the starry black of the floor. Anios and Phoebos, as the twins, stood on either side of Lady Menendek in her niche behind the two thrones. Tanchi started. In front of the thrones, facing Murasaki and Maru, sat March Ambassador Reimer, who sweated in a black alien suit, a broad-rimmed black hat straight on his head. He perched on a high wooden chair similar to those in Toto's office. A small throne? What madness was this? 10-year-old Maru, dressed in cut-down royal robes, sat on the smaller right-hand throne, taking Kukue's place. A silver circlet rested on his long white hair. Tanchi narrowed his eyes. Murasaki sat on the left throne, the Kuang's throne. The imperial medallion was around Murasaki's neck, and she wore the imperial crown on her elaborately dressed red hair. Maru jumped up at the sight of his father. Maru, his mother said in mourning. The boy stood still as a statue. Tanchi took a long walk up the center of the throne room. As he came abreast of the ambassador, Tanchi smelt human blood from the man's diseased gums and thanked Dorogon for the good feed before they left for the ceremony. The ambassador stank. Only madness would compel someone to feed on that human. Halt, Murasaki said. She stood. Pledge your allegiance to us. I pledge my allegiance to his esteemed excellency, the Kuang Maru. Tanchi kowtowed in front of his son. Me. You must pledge to me. She clapped her hands once. Technically, he is correct, esteemed excellency, Yorba said. A pledge to the Kuang is a pledge to the region. Go on then, Maru. Accept the loyalty, Murasaki said. Tanchi rose to a kneel, his head bowed, and raised his wrist to Maru. He felt small fangs break his skin, then a small suck and a lick to close the wound. Maru's thin wrist appeared in front of him. Tanchi punctured it with a single fang and took a drop of blood. He pressed his lips against the wound to close it. Da? Maru said. Tanchi examined the pattern of time string spiders, moonflowers, stars, moons, and bats on Maru's robe. Da? Here is the medal for you to present, esteemed excellency, Toto said. Da, I'm sorry I was bad, Maru said in a rush. I didn't mean it. That joke at the summer caves, Uncle Andre said it would be funny to put the frog in your bed. I didn't know it would poop. Please, Dad. Let me go to the caves again. Let me see you and the Grands. Tanchi longed to say that he also missed the caves, that he missed everything. The jokes, the laughter, the campfire singing with Maru asleep on his lap, the letting Maru dive into the lake from his cupped hands. He didn't answer. Da? Maru asked. Where's your imperial words? Murasaki said. The Kuwang doesn't address the Painon. Give him the medal, you stupid boy. Finish it. Tanchi raised his head. Maru looked about to burst into tears. To Doragon with the whipping. Esteemed Excellency, you're a good boy and a good Kuwang, Tanchi said. They won't allow me to see you because I did a bad thing, a very bad thing. I would have you visit me if I could, but it's not allowed. You understand? Maru nodded. Remember the funeral with the urns? The grands are dead. Only Grandmama Umi is alive. She's not done anything wrong. You're the Kuwang. You can order her to attend you. I know she'd like to see you. Shut up, Murasaki shouted. You're going to be very sorry. She drew in her breath, winding up for the long rant. The March Ambassador crouched forward in his seat. Murasaki paused to stare at him. Esteemed Excellency, why do you keep your greatest enemy alive? He asked. Murasaki gave him an indulgent smile. He's nothing, but his humiliation is everything. She smirked, showing her fangs. Fangs, General, have him whipped. Maru looked terrified. He picked up the medal with shaking hands. She means me, Esteemed Excellency, Tanchi said softly. Not you. Remember how your mother and I fight? It's nothing to do with you. Present me with the medal. Maru placed the ribbon of the award over his father's head. Tanchi broke every rule and hugged him. Maru's thin body tensed. No one touched the Kuwan, not even if the Kuwan was a little boy who missed his father. Hopefully, that meant that his mother couldn't beat him. Dear son, I love you. Never forget it. His voice cracked. He let his son go. My dear son, he's not your dear son and heir. You're nothing to him, nothing, Murasaki said. Treason. Bury this Painon awake. Tanchi rose, and with his captain beside him, followed Toto out the side door. The paladin and Herod stayed behind. Tanchi and the captain walked into the coffee room. Toto left. Congratulations on your award, the captain said. Thank you, Os, Tanchi said. Sorry for your troubles. Thank you, Os. I've never learned to keep my head down. Simulations aren't reality. Sometimes you have to look up from the mud. It's been an honor to have you on my ship. Will you remain captain of the Cerberus? Yes, but I expect we'll end up on the frontier, the captain said with a thin smile. I appreciate your concern, considering your own situation. Tanchi shrugged. Resigned, knowing there would be endless time for regret. I would have preferred execution. It's not right. The walls have ears, Os, Tanchi said. The captain pressed his lips together. The other winners are coming in soon. I'm Painon. They parted. Tanchi wandered over to the row of formal portraits of the Kuwangs. He studied the ink sketch of the first, almost mythical ruler of Menendek, Kuwang Tanchi of Clan Nu, whose first name, but not his glorious fate, Tanchi once bore. A long break in time, maybe thousands of years, then a line of the six Kuwans of the Chang Dynasty. Another break in time, revealing the long years of the clan wars. Endless warlords, each claiming the throne. Tanchi stared at the portrait of his great-grandfather, called Chang, although he had started the Vershant Dynasty. Next came Kuwan Lachesis, now Abbess Lachesis, then his grandfather and father. Murasaki's likeness replaced Tanchi's own portrait. Maru's picture followed her in the row. Tanchi gave a slight smile. No one had repainted the wall. An outline of unfaded paint showed where his bigger portrait had once occupied Murasaki's spot. Not so easy to exorcise a ghost. On the other side of the room, the door opened. Another winner, her family, and two officers entered. Toto glanced at Tanchi and whispered to them. They looked uncomfortable. Toto returned back through the door. The room filled up. Servants passed around identical small blood fruit and red wine. They ignored Tanchi. Tanchi watched the crowds. Families grinned, parents and spouses chatted with the mentors and officers. Little children ran about. Winners showed off their medals. Everyone avoided him. Maru entered in front of Murasaki, Yorba and Herod and assorted officers. None of them acknowledged his existence. Maru's face looked pinched and strained. Everyone kowtowed. Maru raised his forearms from his sides to his waist, palms up. You may rise. The people stood. Toto and the servants entered with the coffee pot and cups. A few eyes shifted towards Tanchi, then away. Murasaki stared at Tanchi as she served Maru. Maru raised his cup to the heavens. All honor to Holy Lady Menendek, he said, then took a sip. Paladin Curran presented a cup to Murasaki. The ceremony moved around the room. Tanchi could feel Murasaki's eyes on him as he watched Meru present the last cup to a young boy. His son looked tense and still. Tanchi's only feeling was sorrow for Meru. Their esteemed excellencies, the Kuwong and the regent, will circulate among you giving personal congratulations, Toto announced. An obvious relaxation of the tension ran through the room. As the buzz of conversation grew, Toto drifted over to Tanchi and whispered without looking at him, "Peinon, move away from the portraits." Tanchi turned his back on him. Toto snorted. The aide finally drifted away to supervise Meru. Tanchi decided against waiting for his punishment. He slipped through a nearby door to the main entrance. The hall was empty. He walked swiftly towards the outer door. Halfway down the hall, a side door opened, and Kukue peeked out. It was her, not a memory. Tanchi froze and stared at her, as only a ghost could, with longing, knowing he couldn't exist to her. Kukue's face broke into joy. "Tanchi! Oh, Tanchi, my love! This is a gift. We thought we'd only get to watch you pass." Tanchi took a step forward, then stopped. Shame engulfed him. He had wanted to murder her and their unborn child. He lowered his head, tightened his arms across his body, and restarted his walk to the outer doors. "No," Kukue said. Suddenly, women engulfed him and pushed him into the suite beyond Kukue. A servant closed the door behind them. Kukue flung her arms around Tanchi. His eyes filled. He kissed her. As they embraced, no hunger arrived to disturb him. He could love her without fear. They parted. She fingered the medal. "Congratulations," Kukue said. "It's the first you've ever won on your own merits, though I always thought you deserved the honorary ones. You look so handsome in your uniform." Tanchi glanced around the room. "Does your new husband know you're here?" "Chang and I live with Mother Ume. As far as we're concerned, I'm still married to you." Kukui glanced at Tanchi's mother and sister. They giggled. "We chased off some suitors with a laser," Mama said. "One persistent new got a burnt bum," Kay said with a shriek. The aunties covered their mouths with their hands. Their eyes shone. "You chased away your suitors," Tanchi said. "I'm dead." Kukui pinched his arm. "You seem alive to me." "To see you," Tanchi took her hands and kissed them. "You don't know." He straightened and looked at his mother and his beloved sister and aunties. "To see all of you." His mother wiped her eyes. "We know how strong you are to have survived and done so well." He hugged her. "Andre's well and the uncles?" Tanchi asked. "Andre's working among the humans," Mama said, "trading goods and secrets. He'll be glad to know about you. Would have sent his love if he knew we were actually meeting you." Mama sighed. "Uncle Rose in prison. Uncle Toma rebelled and was executed. The other uncles are at home, working and keeping their heads down." "How's Sammo and your family?" Tanchi asked his sister Kay. "Fine. Sammo's running the Menendez side of Andre's trading company. We're doing well under the circumstances," Kay said. Kukue pulled on his arm. "Come and see your son. Don't worry if he hides in his nanny's skirts or cries. He's 2, the age when babies do that with unfamiliar people." "I remember," Tanchi said. His recent meeting with his other son flashed into his mind. He felt more sad than angry. A nanny sat cross-legged in the center of the floor mats. A sturdy toddler with a shock of black hair that stood straight up from his head sat in the well of the skirts that covered her lap. Chang's face concentrated as he twisted a lever on a playboard. Kukue settled a little way from them and patted the space between the nanny and herself. "Sit down beside me," she said. "He's a fine boy. I like his hair." Tanchi eased himself down, prepared for terror and screaming. "Prince Chang gets his first haircut next week, esteemed excellency." The nanny tried to soothe the hair down. It jumped back up. Tanchi frowned at the title of excellency, then decided to ignore it. He tentatively reached out and brushed the boy's head. The child stopped playing and stared at the brass buttons on his dress uniform. The toddler held out the large lever he had managed to remove from its hole. Tanchi took it, then handed it back. The child resumed his work, jamming the lever into a different socket. Kukue put her arm around Tanchi's waist. He placed his around hers. "I'm sorry about father and the grands," Tanchi said, "and the others that lost their lives." "It's good to see you alive and doing well under the circumstances," Mama said. She reached forward and squeezed his hand. He kissed it. Tanchi bit his lip to stop his fate from tumbling out. Why spoil these precious moments? They would know soon enough. He should try to leave. Tanchi stood as a servant brought in coffee. Kukue smiled, picked up a cup, bowed, and held it out to him. He stared down at it, wanting to caress every one of the perfect fingers holding the porcelain. "Reclaim your right," his mother said. "When you're with us, you are the Johao." Tanchi shook his head, but he took the cup. They drank and fed on bloodworms, the women chatting. The baby fed on a fat bloodfruit, holding it to his tiny fangs with both his chubby hands. Too much acclaim from the aunties. "You're so quiet," Kukui said to Tanchi. She brushed a hand along the side of his head where his hair was slicked back into the short, tight queue. "Changed. What do you expect? All he's been through," Mama said. Tanchi wrapped an arm around Kukui and drew her close. He examined her face to remember it. "I don't deserve your loyalty." "I love you," Kukui said. "Murasaki will surely soften now you've seen Meru and the world's not fallen apart. Maybe they'll give you leave." Tanchi shook his head. "No." Voices and clatter echoed from the entrance hall. Tanchi jumped up. "How could he have stayed so long? I have to go." Mama raised her eyebrows. "Go out this side door and into the toilet, then through the hall door. It'll look like you've been visiting it. Remember that I loved you." Tanchi kissed Kukui and hugged his mother. He ran through the door to the toilet. An imperial guard stood in the center of the room. "I found him," the guard yelled. Till next week.
Thank you all for listening to another Forgotten Fantasy podcast. And remember, if you positively can't wait until next week, you can always become one of our patrons and get a digital copy of the book for $5 a month, as well as Gamers Illogical also streams live video game content every Tuesday and Thursday on Twitch and YouTube on Fridays. And follow us on Facebook at Gamers Illogical. There's Forgotten Fantasy on Facebook as well. And Twitter, at Gamers Illogical is our Twitter, and you'll get updates about the podcast, YouTube, and everything on Twitter.
Okay.
Y'all have a good day. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.